Church. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so, so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is baptism. Baptism is one of the ways that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
So real quick, I wanted to talk to you about something we offer at the church here, and it's called the Blessing Board. If you've been out to the main lobby, you've seen it. And it simply is cards on a board of things that if you have a need, you can post there, or things that you have extra at your house that you want to get rid of and bless someone else with, you can put that there as well. There have been multiple people who have received blessings and needs have been met because of the community we have here at this church. So if you have something that you want to donate, head on out to the Welcome Center and they will get you hooked up with the card to put on the blessing board.
Hey church family, Pastor Tim here. Listen, if you're part of our older generation and you have some yard projects or you need help prepping your winter firewood, we want to help you. So if you need these services, all you need to do is head out to the Welcome Center in the main lobby. There's a sign-up sheet there for the yard projects and for the wood splitting. Just put your name and your phone number. I'll contact you. We'll work out the details and set a time to come and help you out. We look forward to serving you, and we hope this can be a blessing to you.
Your next steps here is Growth Track. Right after service on the first Sunday of each month, Growth Track invites you to connect, learn, and discover how you belong here. You'll hear the history and the vision of Only Believe, and you'll learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them in meaningful ways. Growth Track is all about helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. With lunch and childcare provided, all that is left for you to do is to come ready to grow and connect. You can sign up by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen or by heading right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and signing up there. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Randy here and I have a good news spotlight for you today. We had a lady who on a Saturday night had some tremendous pain in her shoulder. She wanted to come to church, but she said she was not able to come to church with that pain that she had. So she simply asked the Lord to touch her shoulder. And guess what? You guessed it, He did. She woke up the next morning, absolutely no pain of any kind in her shoulder, and she was here on Sunday morning for church. Praise the Lord for that. Listen, sometimes things will try to get in our way to stop us from coming to even, yes, church. So you know what you do? We do what she did. Ask God to help us, whatever the situation may be, and He will come through for you like He did for her. That's our good news spotlight for you today. I hope it encourages you as it did me as well. God bless.
An invite card could change the outcome of someone's life. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby, and they serve as an easy way for you to invite someone who God leads you to or that you don't know to come to church with you. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And if you have questions about groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Good morning, Only Believe Church. It's good to be alive and in the house of God this morning. Amen. Amen. I was thinking this morning just about the church as a whole, and that today we get to come together, we get to worship, we get to fellowship, we get to love on one another, but we also get to hear the Word of God together. That makes us a church. Amen. Amen. It is a privilege to us. Some churches are in the world today that are living underground trying to talk about Jesus, taking pages of the Bible and memorizing them because they don't have the whole Bible. And you would think that we've grown past that, but church, we haven't. And the privileges that we have in this life right now, right here, we need to appreciate what we have. And so I say that. My name is Pastor Nicole. For those of you that are visitors, I say that today I am happy to get to share the word with you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just submit our hearts and our ears and our minds, Father, to you this morning, asking that you would teach us, Lord. Teach us, walk us through the scripture. Father, revelate yourself to us as the word is read and taught together. Father, that we would not leave here like we came. Father, and that all things would work together for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Earlier, I can't let this leave me. I keep hearing the Lord say, ask him if they'll say yes. Ask them if they'll say yes to me. This is not salvation. This goes with the prophecy before. Will you say yes to God pouring out his spirit in a new way? Yes. Yes, God, we will. Yes, God, we will be that church that says yes to the pouring out of your spirit. Yes, God. Do I hear you say yes?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, let that be for us that we say yes. Mark it in your books in heaven that only believe church says yes to you moving, God. Hallelujah. Let it be us. Let it be us. Let us do the stretching of our wineskin. Let us oil them down so that they can receive new wine. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to pick up today's series. We dropped it for Mother's Day so we could honor moms. But we've been in a series called Ezra, Rebuilding and Restoring. Now, any type of reading in Ezra or the Old Testament, you realize that the Israelites or the children of God were known or notorious for seeking after God and doing really, really good things after he displayed his great power. And then soon after, they would fall away. And then God would raise up a deliverer, someone to preach the good news again, and then they would hear it, and they would forsake all their idols, and then they would come back to God. Sound familiar? Maybe in like our lives where we do really, really good for God, and then life happens and we kind of get a little lackadaisical in our life, and then something happens at church or a word comes forth and we're like, oh yeah, I got to get right back on fire with God. Sound familiar? Through eons of time, the same pattern has been happening. So we're going to talk about that pattern. But Ezra, the entire book was really a book about hope. It was a book about hope for the Christian. Not for the sinner, but for the Christian who already knew God, who had wandered in their hearts and fallen away, not really deep, steeped in, but things of compromise had come in. And so it was a book that said, God is with us, even when we fall short, even when we do this, if we will do what he's asked us to do. Now, Pastor Randy taught the week before that Zerubbabel and Ezra had come and they built the temple. They rebuilt the temple that had been torn down, okay? Took a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of manpower. But Ezra was about something more than just a physical building. Ezra had come to build back the people and their hearts. Because like Randy had said, their hearts had become almost like a balloon in the fact that it was not taking weight to the word of God and what God was saying. So they were just aimlessly wandering around where any drift of doctrine or idolatry could take them off task, could take them off God's point. And it was causing a rift between God and his people. They were no longer in right relationship with him. So I want to take up right there in Ezra, and we're going to start reading the scripture in Ezra 9, 1 and 2. Now, for those of you that are new to the Bible, Ezra is all the way back in the Old Testament, and it's right after Chronicles, I believe, 2 Chronicles. So dig around in there. If not, we have it on the screen. All right. And he said, when these things had been done, the Jewish leaders came to me and said, this is Ezra that they're talking to, many of the people of Israel, and even some of the priests and Levites, or leaders, those who should be held above reproof, were not being held there, have not kept themselves separate from the other people living in the land. They have taken up the detestable practices of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For the men of Israel have married women from these people and have taken them as wives for their sons. So the holy race has become polluted by these mixed marriages. And worse yet, the leaders and officials have led the way in this outrage. Now, let's just clear something up. This was not at all about race. When they say mixed marriages, this did not mean they're not white and they're black and you shouldn't marry. They're Indian, they're black, you shouldn't marry. That's not what this means at all. Did you hear me? This is not about race. Let's just clear that up. So let's go back to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 3rd verse, and let's find out what it really was about. Because it's going to tell us the truth, okay? Deuteronomy is way back in the beginning of your Bible, like the 3rd or 4th book. It says, do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your children away from following me and serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Now, this was telling us that it wasn't about race, that it was really about the Israelites were living in a community where they had been chosen as God's people. And if they were to take wives from other nations and other communities, those communities didn't worship the same way as the Israelites. They didn't offer sacrifice the same way. They didn't eat the same way. They didn't give their lives to the same rituals. So in doing so, God had made a covenant with his people. Often like you and I. David, you and Sharon have made a covenant together. You are married, right? And to be unfaithful in that marriage means adultery. God made a covenant with his people. And to be unfaithful in that covenant doesn't mean adultery. It means idolatry, meaning we will worship other things rather than the things God has called us to. And who you bind yourself to matters, right? So because of this, Ezra was trying to restore the people in right relationship. He was saying, you've done something so wrong in God's eyes that we've got to fix what's wrong. We've got to be the holy people that he called us to be. It does no good to have a temple that's been rebuilt with a people that are broken inside of it. We have to be holy. That word means set apart, to live a life that was morally correct and a life of purity that pleased God. He knew that a wife from another community or another religious belief would dilute, water down their faith, even in certain circumstances, pollute what they had been taught was right and get them to draw away from that. They were not to allow themselves to be joined or intertwined with this type. Why? Because ultimately, God knew that when you have a certain relationship with someone, and you join yourselves to them, that influence is going to happen. And that they could influence them to begin to be drawn away and be drawn into the culture of worshiping another god. Now, let me just say this real quick here. If I could number the amount of single men and women that are looking for anyone to fill their void, when God is saying, I'm not asking you to look for anyone, I'm asking you to ask me for the someone. Because what you yoke yourself to determines where you're going in this life. And people these days think, no, 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 no. I'm going to marry because I love this person. And because I love them, they're going to respect what I love. And they're going to let me serve God. Until it doesn't benefit them anymore. Now listen, if you are given the chance to marry someone who loves God or someone who doesn't love God, I would earnestly, earnestly beg you, think before you make this choice. Because what you're yoking yourself to will dilute, water down, or possibly pollute your relationship with God. I'm looking for someone that I can bind myself to that will push me towards my God, that will help me worship what I love, that will help me serve what I love. And anyone who stands in that way is just an anyone. They're not the someone. Come on, can I hear from all the single people in the church? Amen. And I'm looking for what God's looking for my life, not just someone I can do life with. That's not what we're called to. It's not at all what we're called to. Let's go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to take my time today, and where we get, we get. And then we're just going to pick up next week where we left off. So if that leaves us in a weird spot, we're just going to have to be okay with that. I heard the Lord say just slow down. All right, 1 Peter, the first chapter, 14 through 16 verse. It says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Now, Peter is drawing the attention to the Old Testament scriptures here found back in Leviticus. All he's doing is echoing those old time scriptures and bringing them forward into the New Testament. But the children of God were to be set apart and blameless for God's purpose and his plan. And they were to be a people that was not compromising. Someone say compromising. He's calling for a lifestyle change, not a type of change, not a, you know, in this area change. He's looking for an overall change of our life, not temporary, not something that waves with the wind and blows back, but something that is steady and sure, a change in our life that not only you recognize, but the world looking in notices that you're different. You're not a compromising people. Did you hear that? You are not a compromising people. You're not afraid to live a holy lifestyle in spite of what people would say about you. In spite of what people would say to you. In spite of what people would, you know, well, they just judge everybody. No, I'm not judging everybody. I'm judging my own actions. And what I'm saying is, I'm not going to do that behavior because that's not what God wants me to do. That's not bringing a good name to my Father. That's not, oh, they look at me and they say, oh, you're a Jesus follower, are you? And then they try to make you feel bad for following Jesus and living a holy lifestyle. You should not be afraid of living that lifestyle. You should step up to the plate and say, yes, this is who I am. Would you like to hear about my Savior? Would you like him to walk with you? Because he'll change your life permanently too. I'm not the person who I used to be. I'm a new creation. The old in me is done away with. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read the 14th verse through 18. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. And I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Paul is specifically telling us, careful who you hang out with. Careful who you partner with. Now, I'm not talking about people that you meet in the supermarket. I'm not talking about your high school friends that you see once, twice, three times a year. I'm talking about partnering and intermingling and intertwining yourself with these types of people that are not living according to the scripture. You are not to be united to them. You are to be the one influencing them and them not influencing you. Let's give an example of a businessman. Let's say that a Christian businessman had the greatest idea in the world, but he had no money to go with it. So he needs a benefactor. He needs somebody with the money to put towards this business. So you find him, he finds you, he needs a hard worker, he has the cash, and you make a business. But he's an unbeliever. Now, when it comes to getting paid, the righteous man wants to give a bill and then give a W-9 or W-4. W-9 that goes with that contract labor work because he wants to be honest with the government and pay taxes. But the unrighteous man said, no, have them pay us in cash and we'll give them a written receipt, one that's non-traceable, one that's not emailed, but a written receipt so that we don't have to pay tax on it because that'll save us some extra money and our overhead will be more. You see the conflict. People of the world don't want to pay taxes because they believe they are their provider. But the righteous people in this world knows that it doesn't matter how much the government taxes us, God is our provider. And in spite of the tax we pay, amen, whether 30%, 33%, or 37%, and if you're above that, then God bless you. And I'm so grateful that you make so much money. But the more money you make, the more you will give to the government. It's that simple. There's no way around it. And if someone tells you there is, they're lying. The point is, the righteous man and the righteous woman are not liars. The Ten Commandments tells us, thou shalt not lie. What does that mean? We're not lying to the government. We're going to be honest with every dime that we make as income because we trust in the Lord and not in chariots. The Bible says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. In other words, they were going to war. It didn't matter how many hundreds of thousands of horses and chariots that they had. If you went to battle with the Lord, you came out victorious. We will trust in our God, amen, in spite of what it appears. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to go right into social media. There are some of us, or you, I have not. I actually, the Lord convicted me a couple weeks about someone I was following. Beautiful young girl about sourdough, but every other word out of her mouth is a cuss word. Now, what I love about this little girl is that she thinks sourdough and recipes is stupid. She's like, that's dumb. Just take a little bit of Jane, throw her in here, throw in some flour. She's not measuring. She said, you can't mess up sourdough. Don't even believe those people that tell you there's got to be a recipe. But the problem is every other word is a cuss word. God said, what are you yoking with? Yeah. Who are you following on your Instagrams? Who are you following on TikTok? Because as much as I love social media and its influence, I love that it has the ability to take the gospel from Botkins, Ohio, and ship it all the way across to Europe and get the message of Christ out there. But you have to understand that the same amount of worldly influence is coming right back at you based on who you follow and what you listen to. So when you're aimlessly death scrolling through and every other word you hear is a cuss word or something about lustful thoughts about someone else because you're following a single guy who doesn't have a wife yet and you're a married man, you need to unfollow what you're watching. Because I'm telling you, the influence into your life, you have yoked your ears and your eyes and your mind with a device that God doesn't want you to yoke to. Do you get that? I'm all about fitness. If you can't tell. But every time I start following a girl on a fitness app, on something, I start getting all of this lewd and crude behavior that comes with the fitness world. And I'm not against the fitness world. What I'm telling you is, if you are a man and your eyes have a struggle wandering, and that wandering can't keep your mind from lustful thoughts, the last thing you need to do is be watching women in a gym in half their clothes lifting and moving weights. Why would you submit yourself to that? Unfollow those types. Clean up what you're yoked with. Clean up what you're yielding your senses to and what you're hearing. For God has called us to be a holy people and set apart from the world. And though the world can watch that, you and I cannot. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? Let what you hear talk about God. Let what you see draw you closer to Him and not further from Him. I just saw a hunter. I saw a guy watching his device with a hunter. God says, you know what? Find a Christian man. Find a Christian man and delete that hunter that is talking like a dog about his wife. Come on. That's not what you need to hear. You're a married man and you're happily married. And if you're not, work on your marriage and get off your phone. Come on. Woo. We were called to live differently. We were called to come out from amongst them, even in our social media. But we are called to live our life differently than the world. Differently. And we have a fear of God. See, Ezra was calling to the children of Israel. See, Israel had begun to blend in with their surroundings. They had begun to not be known as God's people anymore because they were marrying of different tribes and then worshiping different things, and their hearts were going away from God. Is there an area in your life? Is there an area in my life that maybe we've begun to blend in? Do your friends that drink and party think you're the life of the party? Because if that's the case, maybe you're blending in. Does your family get together with you and just talk about all the surrounding people in their neighborhood and everyone else they can think of anything that's evil that's happened to? Let me tell you something. A family like that, that you don't stand up and say, you know what, I'm not having any activity in this. I'm not talking about people. I'm not putting people down. I'm not degrading people. If that's the family that you're in and they're not, and you're not saying anything and they want to invite you over, that's a problem. You're blending in with society because this is what people do. If the only thing you have to do when you're together at a family get-together is to talk about the family members that are not there, then you need a life. Get a real life. Find something to do rather than talk about or tear down other people. This is not what God's called us to. And for those of you that are extroverts and you've got thousands of friends, that's not me, just so you know, that is Randy. He doesn't know a stranger. Everyone's his friend. And I love that when I need to be social. I don't love that when I'm just ready to get groceries. Good night. Getting through the grocery store with Randy Waters is a 5-hour display. Here's me in the grocery store. Here's Randy. Hi. Hi, I mean, oh, have you seen the new thing at Sam's? They've got these artichoke dip things. I'm like, Randy, no one cares. He's just there for the experience, you know? Talking to the lady, giving out free food. I'm just like, yeah, it's free food. Let's go. If you're an extrovert and you have tons of friends, I dare you. just to set a precedent with your friendships and go, you know what? I would love to go out with you this weekend, but I just want to let you know there will be no talking about anybody. I guarantee you, you're not getting a call next week. Those friend lists are going to start popping off like this. I dare those of you that have a friend that listens to whiskey, drinking, weed, smoking, adultery, having music. No, I'm serious. Or the explicit version or the non-explicit version, which is still explicit in my ears. I dare you to ask them when you're in their car, do you mind if we turn that off? That really doesn't set well with my spirit. I guarantee you, you're not getting another call. And the reason is because you're living separate. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference. I had a girlfriend call me my senior year from school. Graduation had happened, and I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't that very popular at school, so when anyone called me, it was a joy. I'm just going to be real with you. And so this group of girls called me, and they said, hey, Nicole, do you want to go to the movies tonight? And I was actually shocked, because I figured once school was over, they weren't going to be contacting me again, you know? And I said, sure. Like that, literally, just like that. Sure? And she said, oh, no. Don't get concerned. We already know that you won't watch the stuff we watch, so you get to pick the movie. And I said, oh, well, okay. What did that say to me? My dad always told me, sweet pea, I don't care how many cards you have in the deck. What's important is that you, with your friends, and you're holding the ace card. I don't care if they've got everything lined up against you, but what card is in your hand? Because if it's a jack, it's not going to get you the win. You must have the influence in that relationship. So next time, you call your friend up, say, hey, you want to go shopping? And they say, yeah, let's go shopping. Say, well, let's take my car this time. You want to know why? Because you get to play the music in your car that you want. You got to think. You got to think about how to live among them and be separate from them. See, the children of Israel, they were disobedient to God. And I'm going to tell you right now, it cost them a lot. Because Ezra called every one of those families that had married and had children to divorce and to put them out. Sometimes for you and I, obedience is easier than to pay the price with a sacrifice. All these men had to put their wives out. Families are broken. They're crying. They're grieving. It took 3 months for them to just make a list of all the men that had a wife from another community and had began to do terrible things. But immediately when the people were reprimanded for what they did, they went, oh, Ezra, we don't want to be that. They confessed their sin before the Lord, and they said, whatever it does to restore our relationship with God, we will do it. Let's go to John 17. And I wasn't sure where we were going to go today, but I think the Lord's just leading me. This is Jesus speaking, and we're going to John 17, the 14th chapter. It says, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to this world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. This is Jesus praying. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. We've all heard this scripture. This is the way I learned it. Be in the world, but not of the world, meaning that you are not to allow its influences and its practices to bring us into a sinful place, but we're to allow the word of God, which is being taught to us through Jesus Christ, to work in us and to separate us from that. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are sent into the world to make a difference. But yet being in the world still requires that you live a certain way because you are the representation of Jesus. You are the representation of our Father, God. And when you compromise publicly, when you compromise secretly, did you hear that? When you compromise secretly, everybody says, well, you know, no one was listening when I said that. Well, I bid you that the most important person was listening. And that is the Spirit of the living God. And he is a person. And that person can be grieved. That person can feel sorrow when you are sinful in your action. When you and I get compromising situations and we don't choose what's right, let me tell you, not only is there a conviction that the Holy Spirit sits out to you and says, no, please don't do that before you do it. He don't tell you after. He tells you before. And if you're telling me he tells you after, then you're telling me that God's late. And I don't believe that he's late. He's never early, but he's never late, but he's always right on time. And the Holy Spirit lives within you and I. The word says that he will write his words upon our hearts, and he will be in you, leading you and guiding you and talking to you. So I know he told you before, because I've been in the same boat. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. Even when I respond the way that I shouldn't, the Holy Spirit is right there to catch me. But how quickly I turn back to him matters everything. How quickly. But the longer I delay, the longer I hold him off, a sorrow and a grief inside of him begins to well up, and he just begins to do this and wait. What's he waiting on? He's waiting on me to turn back and to repent and to come to know him again. To right the relationship that I've put something in between us that's wrong. I'm going to go a step further today. And I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And we're going to close there, I think, today. And then I'm going to pick up next week. And I want to talk out of Ephesians, because I'm going to talk out of some things that we often find ourselves compromising in that we don't think is a compromise in our culture today. And I'm going to read some of those. We're dealing with, obviously, Old Testament culture and how that appears to us. But I want to go a little deeper. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Guys, I got to be honest with you. I'm really excited about the park. I'm thinking about it right now. I really am. It's supposed to be a beautiful day, and I want to spend some time with all of you guys. Those of you that aren't coming, by the way, or didn't have plans to come, you don't have to bring anything. There's hot dogs and hamburgers over there, so if you eat nothing and no one shares with you, which that shouldn't be the case, I promise, you'll get food. So you should come over. It'll be fun. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. It says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God." This is the line I want you to hear. "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. Church, there are people that claim that they love Christ and they believe in him and that they're followers of him. Yet in their life, there is zero proof that he's at work. You don't get to say you are a Christian and not have a transformation. See, it says they have a form of godliness, but they have not been transformed into the likeness of Christ. They want to go through the social experiment and be accepted by all people and not be rejected by the Christians, but they want to be accepted by the world. God's told you and I through every scripture that we've read prior that you are to be separate, that you are to come out from among them. What does that mean? You're going to come out from what looks like the world, and you're going to submit yourself to the written word of God, which is going to begin to transform you into the image of God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You can't do this work on your own. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no transformation. That work starts when you believe in Christ. All those people that got baptized today, you want to know what that is? That was an outward declaration of an inward change that was happening because they believed in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is beginning to do a work. Does it mean they're perfect? No. Does it mean that they're never going to sin? No. Does it mean that you're going to have to walk with them? Yes. Does it mean we might have to clean up some messes? Yes. But does it mean they don't love God? No. But there are those that walk among you, as Wes said, there are those that are among you that claim to have a form, but they reject the very thing that will get them there. You must submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Church, and if you find that there's a believer that's saying all the right things, but not transforming, please don't believe that that's what God wants for you. That's not true. Come out from among them. Begin to dig into the scripture. Begin to seek after God with all of your heart. And that Holy Spirit will come in and he will begin to transform you. And before you know it, you won't hate, but you will love. You won't be sad. You won't be grieved, but you will have joy. No matter what's going on around us in this world, you will have this inner peace that comes not from peace because there's nothing going on in our lives or that gas isn't $4+ a gallon, but because you have peace in the provider that provides all things. And that my family's never done without and we're not going to do without again. Amen. And we mix our faith with the word of God that we believe. And you don't just mix faith without an action. You mix faith with what the word says and then you step out and say, watch. And things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. I was talking to a couple this morning. They were living together. And before long, we'd gone through Growth Track and we said to them, we said, you know, living together is not good. This isn't the first couple we've done like this. We've had multiple couples. I said, but here's what I'm going to ask from you. I'm going to ask that you abstain from having any relations. And they both looked at each other like, what is she talking about? I said, don't worry. I said, God will honor your abstinence. And I said, by the way, we work from 8 to 4, Monday through Thursday. If things should get tough, give us a call. A week later, I see one in the hallway and she flags me down. Miss Waters, Miss Pastor Nicole. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, we need to get married now. And I said, well, praise God. But let me tell you what's happening here. A choice to live holy amongst God's people, to care what he thinks about them, to say, above all other things, I don't care that you're living right in public. I care that you're living right before the eyes of God and the church. And when you do by faith what you might not think you have the power to do, I'm going to come in and help you. That couple's not the same couple they were today, yesterday. They're totally different and so happy and God moving in their life. Why? Because they came out of what the world said was okay and came into the knowledge of what the word said was right. That's truth. That's a transformation. And now their entire family is being moved and blessed because of this change. I close today with 1 John 1:9. You don't even have to turn there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to forgive. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would, church. This is just the beginning. So if you thought this week was hard, you might not want to come back next week because we're going to go a little deeper. Might hint some more of you. It's all right. It's all right. Today was for all the singles out there. I had to just start in the word and follow in the word. I'm going to ask those of you who are Christians, I'm going to ask you over the next week to be very thought-provoking. I want you to be in deep thought about where it is that maybe you have begun to blend in. You don't have every scenario of what the Bible tells us to not do. There's loads of things, but he works in one simple place first, and that's the heart. If your heart is open to hear, he'll begin to reveal what's in there that he wants to remove. Nothing that he's revealed is he not ready to heal and remove from you. Not on your own. That's an old Pentecostal saying. It's not, I don't, there's not a scripture for that. But what he reveals, he heals. And if he revealed it, your heart is ready to let it go. So Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we submit our hearts to you right now. And Father, we just took communion. So in our hearts, there's no knowledge of sin right now. But Holy Spirit, if you were, take a spotlight and begin to search our inner being. Through this week, I just ask you, God, to reveal anything, God, that's compromising. Anything that we've set ourselves or yoked ourselves with or intermingled ourselves with that we think is okay, but really, it's drawing us away and causing us to trust in something else, to possibly fall in love with something else other than you as our first love. We just humble our hearts before you. And we know, God, that your heart is for us. And we know that every time, Father, though we trip and we stumble and we fall, God, that you are there to receive us again. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. Thank you for the cross. Now, if you're here in this house today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then we want to offer him to you today. We want you to invite you to come into the family of God, to say, Pastor Nicole, I want to be born again. I want to know about this transforming work of God. I don't know that he can change me, but maybe I'll try it. See, we've all fallen short. There's not anyone that's in here perfect. A church is not for the healthy people. The church is a hospital for those who see they need help. And we're so dependent upon Christ. He came and he died for your sin. And if you'll accept his forgiveness today, then you can be born again. And then he can begin to walk with you through your life. And we'll be your church and we'll help you walk too. Is there anyone here today that would say, that would be me? I'm just asking you to slip up your hand. We have a prayer team watching. And if you slip your hand up, they're just simply going to come to you and pray. Is there anyone that would be bold enough to say, I want to know Jesus. I want to turn from my way and accept his. Okay. Well, it looks like all of us would be going to heaven, amen? Amen. All right, so I have something exciting today. Well, it's exciting and it's sad. It's bittersweet. Come on up, hon. Margo and Kylan, come up. We have faithful friends of ours that have been with us a long time.
29 years.
Woo! Woo! Miss you so much. So much. 29 years. I remember I was talking with Kylan the other day, and they came to us so young. Ryan, actually, who's on his front row, put his arm up. Ryan. Ryan was 6 months old. Yeah. 6 months old. And here's this young couple that got in a car and came from Pennsylvania all the way down to Ohio to hear about a youth pastor's position and say yes to God, to say yes for the move of his spirit, and to walk for 29 years. And Kylan and I, when we were talking the other day, he said, you know, Nicole, I walked in and it was perfect. The atmosphere, the time of growth, like we experienced so many good things back here in the youth as we went back and reminisced. But it was definitely God's purpose and definitely God's timing. We don't question this purpose or this timing, but it's hard.
No, it is. And, you know, being with the youth is a difficult thing. You know, we've all had teenagers here. But a typical youth pastor lasts in America at a church. They've dropped it now to about 8 months to a year, and they move on.
That's crazy.
This guy lasted how many years? 17, 18 years as a youth pastor. Yeah.
I think they still look young enough they can hold it too.
Oh, absolutely they do. Yes.
I do. They've been our friends. They've been confidants. They've been a support. When we didn't even know what we needed, you were there.
And we're so faithful. You were so faithful to us and our family. I watched you be our youth pastors. I watched you be my father's friends and his employee. I watched you faithful. Kylan, like I've never seen anyone push the plow so faithful. I'm forever grateful for what you've done for my family and for this church.
Amen.
You left us with a generation of leaders.
Yes, you have.
That we could have made. I remember when Pastor Dosik asked Kylan and I to head up this new service on Friday nights. And we tried to put, I'm anal. He's twice as anal as I am. And so we were just trying to get some structure to the service. And he finally just walked in one day and he said, "My gosh, would you stop faking it to death?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You don't need to organize anything. Yeah. Open the doors and let the people come." That was it. We weren't allowed to prepare ushers. We weren't allowed to prepare prayer people. Nothing. Dad just wanted a move of the Spirit. And I think I can speak for all of us that attended God moments. Our lives are never the same. We just let God do what God was going to do. We partnered through that together. Week after week. I can't remember. 2 years? 2.5 years? It was a long time on Friday nights. And it went through football season as well. So don't even tell me we weren't committed. We were. They're moving. And they're heading on to Nashville, Tennessee. Right outside of Nashville. And we want to pray them out today. We want to send them with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and we don't want them to leave without Only Believe Faith going with them.
Absolutely.
Amen. Let's pray.
Oh, Father, prayer with the saints. Oh, we thank you for Kylan. We thank you for Margot. God, you sent them here to Only Believe so many years ago. God, not just for us to help him, but God, for him to help us, and the growth that we all have had through PK and Margot and his family have been enormous. God, you have blessed his family. God, his other kids in ministry, God, and Ryan doing his amazing thing. God, you've blessed their whole family. And God, I know that him leaving us is good. It's the next chapter in his life. God, you're going to continue to bless. You're going to continue to do good things for him. And God, you're going to do good things for us as well. It'll be a big hole. But God, we send them with love. We send them with hope. We send them with faith. That Lord God, you have the next chapter in their lives already prepared for blessing, God, to help others. God, that they need. And Father, he will also help them in what they need.
Yes, God.
God, we bless them. We thank you for them. We still will be good friends.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And God, we just thank you for the next chapter in all of our lives together and what you're going to do and how you're going to move. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
And may they never forget with God.
All things, are possible.
Only believe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Team, we love you. Pastor Kylan and Margot are heading to the park with us.
Yes.
So we're asking all of you, get your stuff, change
right.
your clothes, and head on over where we're going to have our church picnic today and celebrate all of the years of ministry of Only Believe.
Yay.
We love you, church.
Hallelujah.
Very much.
If you do need prayer, come on up. We have a couple prayers.